Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. We're here to discuss the week in Macintosh, as ever. And I've got a great panel. Even if we are a bit late.
At last.
Yeah.
At last.
At last.
Finally.
Top left, sitting in an airport, waiting for a plane to San Francisco. If you're in San Francisco, when she gets there, she's going to need a coffee and a whiskey shot or something like that. Kelly Gamont, how you doing, girl?
I'm lovely. And by the end of the show, I may need two of those shots. So yeah. Heads up, San Francisco.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. How's the week been?
Not bad.
Excellent.
Sun's out here. Did a bunch of computer upgrades. Everything's really happy. So
just entered the boarding area for flight.
You had to comment on it being quiet here, didn't you?
Yeah, don't worry. This is where I'm going to dub in a bit of background now so that people actually believe that you're in the airport, Kelly. I'll just put some like announcement in the background or something like that with some woman who sounds really annoying. And then people will know that you're in the airport and they won't know that we've mocked this up.
Okay. Gotcha. Too many aircraft. Landing, they only have two runways.
So only two runways.
She sounds like she's about 90. Yep.
We have so many aircraft, and they sound like they're going to crash when they land.
I want to know what airport she's at. They only have two runways?
Have a word, and I'll make her a lower third, shall I?
Sure.
You as soon as that information comes our
I
way.
Thought Gamont could talk, but that announcer, damn, she's got. She's, does not I never thought I'd hear anyone that could keep Kelly Gamont quiet.
I'm just assuming you can't hear me even if I'm speaking. That's
all. We can hear you, but she kind of spoils it a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, come on, woman. Get on with the announcement already.
Okay, she's
thank
done.
You.
I could the amount that she spoke there, you could have learnt to have flied a plane in that time.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll consider it in the future.
And now some guy's replying.
No, I think
just
that's
go on mute for a second, Kelly, while I go out of the panel. Swagger, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. It's good. Busy week. I'm disliking 10.8.2.
What's happened?
It's everything's happening for some reason. I don't know why. The Safari starts not Safari. Chrome is slow. The camera didn't work.
Supplemental update. Have you done that one? Or is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
Supplemental my butt.
Yeah.
Sorry, no, I don't know what happened. Everything was running peachy until that update. Could be me.
No rollback.
It probably is me. Yeah. Yeah, no rollback.
Next to him, after a couple of weeks of absence, but now back. From Ars Technica, Mr. Forsman. How you doing, pal?
All right, already.
Good, man. You've had an okay week?
Yeah, had a pretty good week.
Excellent. Good week. Done plenty of writing, because we've got a couple of your stories here today to take the fun out of.
Oh.
And finally, by no means the last person, but certainly the one on the panel, Mr. Dr. Happy Mac, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, good. Yes, missed a few weeks, but back again.
Yes, didn't quite make it last week.
Didn't quite make it.
I hope you weren't...
Didn't finish till tea time. It was horrible.
Okay. I was going to say, I hope you weren't hurtling around the lanes trying to get back in time.
No, I gave up at 3 o'clock. I thought I'm going to be here for another 2.5-3 hours. I might as well just enjoy it.
Might as well.
For a given value of enjoy.
Jolly good. Right then. Apple news. There's actually some Apple news.
What? No.
Mac Store went down today, and when it came back up... Yep. You can get your iPods now. So the new iPod Touch is available. There's a gorgeous version of it. And the new iPod Nanos are available for you. You can go and get them. They'll be in stores and you can pick them up and you can fondle them and lick them and then put them back.
And for people who aren't jazzed about the current iteration of the Nano, you can probably find a place that's wanting to get rid of the previous edition of the Nano at a reasonable rate. So if you're still a sucker for that watch band... then now's your chance.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've bought one of those for the missus and she's never worn it, so that might be going on eBay after today.
I actually can't believe I actually heard Apple, iPod, and reasonable rate in the same sentence.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, it is the previous edition. Nobody wants that, right?
But even when you see Macs on eBay, we've talked about this on the show before, you know, an old iMac, and it's going for 100 $50 less than a new one. So that surprises me.
No, we've had.
Adore the watch band. I thought it was fantastic, yeah, it was cool. And I had Renee Ritchie on the Talkcast a couple just before the iPhone announcement, and we were talking about sort of wishing, and so we talked about what we expected to happen, which is pretty much what happened, and then sort of the wish list because I run a home for Crackpot Theories, and the one that Renee came up with that I had no idea I wanted so badly until he said it was notification. It was basically Pebble style software built into the Nano so that your watch would, so that if you're wearing it as a watch, or if you're me and you're wearing it so that you have music while you mow the lawn or something, then you can look and see that you have a text message or that someone called you or, you know, whatever your alert is on your watch instead of having to fish out your phone from your pocket or your backpack or what have you. So I didn't realize how much I wanted that until Renee said that's what he wished would happen. And then I wished what it was what would happen too. And then it didn't. So there you go.
Mm, jolly good. So
speaking of watches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think it's a bit, isn't it irritating this week? It's irritating me anyway, that this company that has just gone through this, the whole thing with Samsung, and so I do this because I've just updated my iPad thing, and it turns out that the clock on the iPad app is like the world's only famous other clock design in the world.
That's what are you talking about?
The Swiss train station clock.
Oh my God! Is that it? It's taking you a week to get to the Swiss train station clock on iOS 6.
He just figured
it out. I was busy last week.
You know, he lives in the car.
Now this week as well. You go in like week cycles, don't you, where something comes out and then for a week everyone goes, oh, holy hell, it's a load of crap. And then a week later everyone goes, well, yeah, but of course it's revolutionary. And they pull back on it. Everyone's pulled back on Maps and they're not saying it's crap anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because everybody who was repeating what everyone else said actually used it and had to shut up.
But the stuff that's wrong with it.
Well, okay, so most of the complaining I was hearing here was from people in A, populated areas, B, in the U.S. These people are not having problems once they actually tried to use it, and once people understood that there was nothing Apple was doing to prevent you from using Google Maps on your iOS device, it just wasn't the Maps button anymore. Then a lot of people had to be quiet. Now, in other countries and in rural places, then... Yeah, I know there were people who had legitimate issues, and I'm sorry that they had them. I was not one of those people. So I never had anything to say about it anyway, but I think people realized, oh, wait, add to home screen, that's a thing? Then that's why they're all being quiet now.
But the Maps are technically wrong. That's my point.
Yes.
But this is the thing that kind of gets me, is that everyone's saying... Yeah, but, you know, it's really difficult building up a Maps thing from the ground up. Yeah, that's why there's technical difficulty with it. That's horseshit. They bought all of the Maps data from third-party firms, and they didn't check that the stuff was accurate. That's due diligence. You can't cut many slack for that. I'm sorry, I'm not having it.
Let's look at it from another perspective, too. Okay, people use TomTom GPS devices the world over, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're using your TomTom GPS device. It has the same data that Apple's getting.
Mm-hmm.
So people using these TomTom devices are going to end up with the same problem.
So in TomTom, the park in Portland is a park, not a domestic dwelling. Because that's one of the things, isn't it? One of the cock-ups is there's an enormous section of domestic dwellings in Portland that's actually now a park. And that's the same in TomTom? I don't think so.
Here's the thing, is I haven't seen the TomTom data be flat out wrong, but I haven't seen the iPhone data be flat out wrong either.
Right.
Not in Portland. Here. Yeah, not in Portland. So the stuff that I'm actually doing with it, like I need to get to these four addresses, you know, because we're looking at open houses or whatever, I've actually been using it for the last month and not had a problem getting where I was trying to go.
Right.
Now, granted, I also had a little bit of a sense of direction and the advantage of having lived in Portland for a long time. So I know you know, I have a general idea of how to get where I'm going even before I put the address in. So I do have that going for me, but at the same time, I never had a problem with it getting me where I was going effectively.
Yeah, yeah, but here we go, right? So now we live in, I live in England, and about 30 miles south of here is Stratford-on-Avon, the home of William Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
They completely missed it off. Now, I'm pretty sure, that TomTom has got Stratford-on-Avon on it. I'm pretty sure it has. That's not, it's not minor. And this is like a piece of California here, and a bar on the Monterey Peninsula. And on Google Maps, it's got very few roads, because there's not an awful lot of roads there, because it's pretty hilly and stuff. Apple hasn't got any roads on it. None whatsoever. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the Portland, here's another shot here.
That's just Apple's way of saying the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, given enough money, we can buy Monterey Peninsula.
There are no roads to strap yourself down to. You can see the countryside as is.
Now, Dr. Happy Mac is holding up Stratford-on-Avon on iOS 6, but that wasn't there last Friday, mate.
But well, maybe that's why people can't get better maps anymore. They get better.
Yeah, they get better, absolutely. There's Portland, and that's supposed to be Powell Butte National Park, is smack in the middle of what's actually a huge residential area near I-64. I-84, even. Yeah.
And, well, Powell Butte is a park. It is within city limits. It's not the active volcano. That's further into town. But a lot of Powell Butte does have residents on it.
Not this many.
So they may be out the Powell Butte area a little bit generously. But, okay. Yeah, there's houses all the way up to Powell Butte.
I've figured out as well that what Birmingham needs is an active volcano. You've got to live in a town with an active volcano. That is so cool, Kelly.
We live life on the edge out west.
Damn. Those pioneers, they know where to throw a stake, didn't they? Look at that big pile of smoke, Ma. Let's build a house there.
Let's live there, yeah. There's actually not houses on the, I mean, there are on the sides of the active volcano, but at the top is where we keep our reservoir.
Chat room is reminding me that Edinburgh has an inactive one, and there's a castle built on top of it, so there you go. And you could be Bookery says you could be a supervillain because you're in a town with an active volcano. You could build a thing smack in the middle of it.
That's true.
Dr. No, 50th anniversary today of Bond. Well spotted as well. Yes. Well done, Bookery. Thank you.
Me Do was today as well.
It's what?
No,
Love Me Do was also 50 years ago today.
Oh, my life. Yeah. The Beatles. Awesome. No, they are Beatles. Crap. They really are crap.
And according to Geek's Twitter feed, Monty Python debuted today as well.
No, that's cool. Now then, there's some fighting at Apple. Infighting. Apparently, the cock-up with maps is down to our old mate, Forstall. And someone's complaining that Forstall's not very good at taking criticism. He likes to jump on the bandwagon when there's loads of praise flying around, but if it's his fault, he points his finger at other people. Now, Bob Mansfield was quitting a couple of weeks back, and apparently, the guy that was coming in after Big Bob was not very good, and a lot of the engineers complained. And they've kept Bob. Tim personally went to see Bob and offered him, in shares, admittedly, 2 million shares a month. $2 million worth of shares per month to stay at Apple.
Mm-hmm. To unretire, basically.
He must be really, really good.
Well, whether or not the guy they were going to have after him was good or just not very popular, we may never know, but what we do know is that when Big Bob said he was retiring, there was basically insurrection of all of his reports.
Yeah.
Well, Dan Riccio was directly underneath Bob, too. That's the thing that I find maybe a little unusual or confusing about this whole thing is
well, that's why the insurrection
was, like,
was
next
so instant.
In line, so they moved him on up.
Maybe that's why the insurrection was so instant, though, Chris, because they knew he wasn't going to be able to cope.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But that's,
they weren't bringing in some new guy. They had to figure out, oh, wait, we don't like him. He's no good. He's incompetent, whatever. Apparently, the people who were on the team already knew what they were going to be in for and did not like it. Not one little bit.
Not at all. But you got to say, Bob, you're going to be able to buy a lot of donuts with $2 million a month.
With the cream filling, of course.
with the crew.
Well, yeah, for all those people who insurrected so that he would stay.
I'd like some donuts with insurrection on, please.
Delicious insurrection.
Now
you know, we have bacon insurrection bars here in Portland.
You have what?
Delicious.
Bacon insurrection bars.
Bacon insurrection.
Has bacon on it. Yeah.
A bacon. It's a bacon insurrection.
There's your show title.
Steak and bacon insurrection. Right. Allegedly, we're into rumors already now. Sorry. That's it. That was the whole news. and even that was a bit of conjecture. Some rumors, allegedly, Apple's moving away from Intel. Now, I thought this was quite a bit of an earthshaker myself. Chris, do you want to talk us through this?
These rumors have been around for a couple of years, really.
But there's a bit more credence to them, isn't there, now that they've come around again.
They keep coming around like the Apple television.
Yeah, but what I know about Haswell, Intel's next architecture that's coming out next year, you know, I mean, I'm just not buying it. I'm just not seeing the value proposition, because Haswell is actually increasing in power and capabilities, but decreasing in power requirements. So it just doesn't make sense, at this point in time anyway, to really ditch Intel and go with custom designed ARM CPUs. Really,
Apple's been down that road before. That's the thing to keep in mind.
Well, and the other thing is, once you ramp an ARM processor up to be as powerful as something like Haswell, you know, you're still talking about the same kind of power, if not more. So, ARM still has major advantages in a portable device like an iPhone or an iPad that don't translate the same way to a desktop or even a laptop like a MacBook Air. So, I personally am not buying it. I absolutely believe that Apple has prototype devices with ARM processors in it, and I absolutely believe that they have engineers, you know, making sure that every bit of code of OS X can be optimized for an ARM processor. That I don't doubt at all. Because it's the exact same thing they did with Intel. I mean, even though they were were whole hog with PowerPC and expecting, you know, IBM to ramp up G5s and to make, you know, get them into power envelopes, they could put them into PowerBooks. It just never happened. But that's what Apple had been planning on for a couple of years. At the same time, they still had engineers, you know, that were keeping OS X, ported and optimized for Intel, and they were ready. You know, when the decision came down, screw it, let's switch to Intel. They were ready for it, and I have no doubt that Apple has, you know, one or more engineers that are, you know, are making sure they're at the ready if they decide to make that decision. But I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
Is it? I mean, there's a question in the chat room here. What's the feasibility of Apple totally going to their own replacement for the chips? And there's another comment that's come up saying, you know, if they remove the dependence of the outsiders, then they remove the potential for it to collapse around their ears if those suppliers then cause them problems. And if you go back to Tim's statement at All Things D about doubling down on secrecy, if their production is in inverted commas in-house, that gives them a little bit more of a secrecy element as well. As does that make sense? Or
I mean, I think those are valid points, definitely.
Yeah.
Well done, chat room. Anything to add? I mean, DHM.
No, I think they'll do it. I honestly think they'll do it. I think it's going to be sooner than we think it's going to be.
Really?
Honestly.
Next
iteration.
I really
do. Oh, no, okay. I don't think it's going to. I would say in the next couple of years, I would say. Every time they launch a product, particularly with their iOS devices, obviously, it's you know, the new A5, the new A6, the new A100, you know, whatever it may be that will be coming, it's going to be based, I think, around that of some sort, you know. So the A1000 for the new iMac, I don't know.
Well, I was just about to say, A5, A6 is a long, long way away from powering a Retina MacBook Pro.
Without a doubt. But I don't think it's going to be... I don't think it's going to be like that, but I think I definitely think they will go and do their own thing, and it's what Apple does. They do their own thing. Actually, what they'll do is they'll take the idea. Yeah, well, That's true. They undid it, but now that they've got a thing in place with Intel, they'll just rip off Intel and then they'll do their own chip.
Now, there's a question from Gazmaz. Is that inside information, Kyle?
No, that's not inside information. That's a personal feeling. I think they'll go that way because it's just the Apple way.
Hi, Gazmaz.
Hello, Gazmaz. Now, since you we got a leak very early on in the year, on the 25th of January, we were telling you about the 7-inch tablet. We were telling you price and we were telling you spec, near retina resolution. No one believed us, but we did it 25th of January, and that was from an inside source. Has that inside source spoken to you since then, Carl?
No, that inside source doesn't. No, that's not exactly true. We have traded a couple of emails, but nothing Apple related.
They were just, you bastard, Kyle.
No, it wasn't anything like that. It was just more of a, hey, how's it going? Leave me the hell alone kind of thing, you know.
He's been sat in the basement at Cupertino.
I don't know you.
He's been sat in the basement at Cupertino with electrodes on his nuts since January.
I have a feeling. That's why I haven't heard from him probably for the last month. Now we're starting to see these 7-inch mock-ups coming up or the parts for the 7-inch. So I actually have not heard anything from him about 6 weeks, actually. Yeah.
See, not many people listen to this show, which is why no one, I can't say you heard it here first because it doesn't apply to many people. we've also got the Modbook because you'll relate to this, DHM.
Yes, I like to keep up on the Modbook stuff.
Dr. Hammerbook the reaction has exceeded expectations, apparently. It's going to ship in November, and it's going to cost you $3,499. Now, Mr. Forsman, you wrote an article on this, didn't you? No, Jackie Chen did.
Yeah, this is Jackie's on this new one, but I did see, so I was at Macworld 09. When Axiatron, which was Andreas Haas' previous company, but when they first announced the Modbook Pro was coming, and you know, basically what happened, you know, the 2009 was also when there was a whole financial meltdown, and Axiatron became a public company, and you know, they decided to go in some different directions. So you know. Haas decided to, he was just like, okay, you know, this isn't going to happen here. I'm going to start my own company, and this is what we're going to focus on. So they kind of started over from scratch. And they've really developed, it's definitely a niche product. It's definitely going to have a small audience, but, and that's, you know, that's a big reason why the price is so high. But for the people who could really use something like this, it's exactly what they've been wanting, you know. People have been, why doesn't the iPad do this, or why can't I get a MacBook Air to do that? So I think for the audience that it's intended for, it's going to be
to be fair as well. The chat room's falling off its chair, says Cyberpaul, at the price, and there's a few expletives going around which I can't repeat, but it does get you a Core i7 processor, 16 gig of RAM, an SSD up to 48 gigabytes of storage, and you can even dual boot Windows 7 on it as well with the install coming as part of the package. So there's an awful lot in there, and you've got a MacBook Pro as a tablet instead of something with a crappy A5 processor in it.
Right. And I mean, you're talking about basically the people who are going to really appreciate this are people who are professional artists, you know, people who are professional designers who want something portable like an iPad, but they, you know, they need to be able to run Maya, or they need to be able to run AutoCAD, or they need to be able to run Photoshop or Painter, or, you know, some of these, you know, essentially high-end software that takes a lot of processing power that, and still has the accuracy of a, you know, an Intel. So, you know, like I said, I mean, it's definitely a small niche. It's not a mass market device, and it doesn't have a mass market price. So it's not at all surprising that a completely redesigned custom chassis for, you know, a MacBook Pro is going to run you $3,500.
Kelly, are you cleaning?
I think she's already gotten into the pretzels, is hanging outside of the plane.
Kelly's cleaning her MacBook screen with an anorak or something like that, I think, across the microphone.
No, I was trying to move. Sorry. I'll sit still.
Sounds like a MacBook Air, says Paul, and Batwench is not happy about the money, and people have more money than sense. Is this a competitor to Microsoft Surface, says Jim?
No. Of course, no. Oh, yeah. No, it's got to be. Because
the thing is, because there isn't one yet.
Yeah, well, true.
It will be a competitor because, in actual fact, if you can dual boot Windows on this thing and have a Mac at the same time, you won't have to spend another $3,000 to get the Surface.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually save money.
The price of Surface can't be right. It's just never going to compete at that anyway. Come on.
I mean, this is a very specific tool. This is a very specific tool for a very specific audience. And right. You know, I saw the original prototypes they were showing in 2009. I mean, the build quality is amazing. So, I mean, these aren't, you know, goof-offs just screwing around. I mean, these are...
No, this is serious business.
Serious. Yeah, serious business. And, you know, Andreas Haas, he used to work at Apple years ago. He was in the Newton Group. Mm-hmm. In the Newton Group years ago. So, I mean, it's not like this is something he doesn't know anything about. It's something he's been working on for years. So, I don't know if we'll get review hardware or not, because apparently demand is so high that they're just barely keeping up with the production they can do right now. But, you know, I'd definitely like to get my hands on it and give a full impression at some point. But I'm pretty confident that it's for the people who want this, and there are those people, they exist. Mm-hmm. It's going to be exactly what they want.
Excellent.
You know who they are? They're the 17-inch MacBook people.
Why?
Because some people, whatever reason, need to be both portable and running something with ridiculous hardware requirements. You know, like Chris was saying, I need Maya in the field.
Yeah, okay.
There are those people.
But it's not
now,
giving you screen.
I'm sure all three of them are very excited about it. I'm not saying there's a lot of them, but yeah. For the people for whom this is an attractive option, then this is totally going to be the thing for them, and they're not going to flinch at the price, because these are the people who in the studio are the Mac Pro Thunderbolt display people.
Mm.
So it's not going to bother them to spend what I spent on my car in order to get a new machine.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's a specialty market. Definitely a specialty market. You know what will really suck, though, is like the next day, they'll put this out, and the next day Apple will announce that we've dumped Intel. That sucks.
Yeah.
I'm sure DHM will have some customers for it, says Cyberpool. And lots of odd noises today, says Batwench.
Definitely undercutting that.
The odd noises would be Kelly. And DHM's is going to be much cheaper. Oh, very good. Now, allegedly, on the 18th of this month, is it the 17th of this month? 17th of this month, on the Wednesday the 17th, Apple have got the Benny Vista Center, or is it the, what's it called? The Yogi Bear Center in California. They've got that booked out for an event, supposedly. And everyone's saying it's going to be the 7.85-inch tablet.
Mm. Or iPhone 6.
There is the other.
Let's just perpetuate that rumor from now on. It's going to be the iPhone 6.
Sounds good.
Sure.
There's a booking. No one knows who the booking's for, but it's blocked out on the website for the I don't know the name of the place, Benny Vista Center. And it's
Buena Vista Center, I believe.
The Ben and Jerry Center, there we go. And
Haagen-Dazs Center, yeah.
The Haagen-Dazs Center. And they've got something booked out, and everyone's reckoning it's going to be the 7-inch tablet. Would this really happen? Are you really going to see Apple do two keynotes back-to-back that close?
Why not?
Because it's never happened before, and it's just not a practice that they've ever done.
Well, Apple never put out an iPod before. They never put out an iPad before. I mean, there's a lot of things Apple's never done.
You know we're on the third iteration of iPad, right?
Yeah, they've bumped the iPad back to October instead of doing it in March. Here's the thing, is that I feel like Amazon has kind of been gunning for Apple for a long time. In the software category, in the services. Amazon wants you in their pocket by giving you the Fire for cheap. And then that way, everything that you buy from Amazon. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, the Kindle Fire is just their their razor blade handle, you know, so that all your blades will come from Amazon. And I feel like Apple might want a piece of that market. And it's not to say that Apple hasn't walked away from money on the table in the past, but given the option, given the manufacturing they have access to for mobile hardware these days, the flash memory that they have access to, like from a logistical standpoint, it is certainly not outside the realm of possibility that they want to sell me something that fits in my little purse so that I don't have to carry a bigger purse around to carry my iPad with me.
Because of Amazon.
Yeah, because when iTunes started saying, you know what, we will rent you a TV show for 99 cents. Amazon said, you can buy one from us for 99 cents. When iTunes said, you can buy a song from us in our proprietary format for 99 cents, Amazon said, we'll sell it to you as an MP3 for 99 cents.
No DRM.
No DRM, straight up MP3. Mm. And then the cloud player, which came before Apple's iCloud. And like anytime, like, I mean, Amazon's been kind of gunning for Apple in this market for a long time. And so it makes sense to me that maybe Apple would fire back and go, oh, I see your Kindle HD $200 tablet and I raise you the 7-inch iPad. Boom.
It's almost like I remember this scene from Pirates of Silicon Valley. For a long time, Apple had been kind of, and this is in the early 80s, Apple had been gunning for IBM, you know, like IBM mm-hmm. is the enemy. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene where there's the, one of the Apple engineers is pointing out that Bill Gates on the screen, and he's like, that's the enemy. It's not IBM, it's Bill Gates, it's Microsoft.
Mm. Which it isn't.
And I almost feel like this is a similar situation where, like, you know, Google has kind of been like this nemesis for Apple. But, I think that yeah. It's not quite the same. It's not like you can just ignore Google and just worry about Amazon. But I think Amazon is kind of like this dark horse that was like, you know, they had their Kindle and it was this e-ink thing. And it was a little bit different and blah, blah, blah. And then finally, you know, mm-hmm. they're basically Amazon threw down the gauntlet at this last release of these new Kindle Fire HD and stuff. They're just like, they were making like pointed, you know, digs at Apple, at the iPad when they were introducing it. Mm-hmm. So, it's like, oh, all of a sudden, you know, here's this other thing to think about.
Mm. Well, and really, I think the line was e-ink. As soon as Amazon got out of the e-ink business, then the Fire turned them into a tablet maker, not a personal device maker, because like I don't really think of my Kindle as a tablet. I have it in my backpack.
Hang on. Then it's not fair to say that Amazon are out of the e-ink business. I mean, the Paperwhite came out yesterday.
I didn't say they were at all. No.
I thought you just said that Amazon got out of the e-ink business.
No, when Amazon became a tablet maker, with the Fire,
right?
That made them a tablet maker. I don't think of my Kindle Touch, which I got last year on my birthday, as a tablet. I think of it as an e-reader, which is a different thing. And I wanted to see the Paperwhite. I thought they were supposed to be out yesterday, and there was a big Best Buy flyer about it, and I was at Best Buy yesterday, and I didn't get to see one. I was very grumpy. I wanted it to be awesome, because I think e-readers are great, and there are people for whom the e-reader is the right thing. But that's not necessarily everybody. And so as soon as Amazon got into the tablet business, not out of the e-ink business, but just expanded to the tablet business, I think that's the point where Apple needed to pay attention. Whether they do anything about it or not is up to them, and whether that's what they're going to do in October, we don't know. I'd like to think so, because I'm curious, because this is the kind of thing I've been wishing for forever, which is competition. What's Apple going to do when they have to compete? Not just sit around and think up good ideas, because we're all going to whip our visas out and stand in line anyway.
Well, I think there's an interesting point as well that Kyle needs to come in on here, because when we did the original story and broke it in January, we had a definite date of the 26th of June for this thing. And then the word came out a couple of months before that was not going to be the date, because there was some issue. And there was always the question about whether Apple were just prototyping and then holding it back in case they ever needed it. Now, the initial story, Kyle, that we got was that this was going to be very heavily oriented towards the reading market and not oriented towards the mainstream iOS. It was going to have, I think the original story that we had was a cut-down version of iOS, so it was a kind of a little bit more iPod-like system than a full iOS 6.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it was obviously going to have the whole app store. You have access to that and all that. Yeah, it's not going to be. It's going to be like half the experience that you get on your full size iPad, right?
That was that. Now that was the original story, wasn't it? That we broke that it was going to be a lesser experience, but it was clearly aimed at the reader market. Do you think that's not changed now because of the Fires upgrade? As Kelly says, you know,
I honestly think, I think it has changed. I think they would be wise to do. I mean, I still think, obviously, you're not going to get a Retina display on the thing. I think that's going to drive the price up too much. But I also don't think you're going to get an e-reader at $199 either. I think you're going to get it at about $249. Why?
Which is what we said.
Because people are willing. Yeah, I've said $249. And I think people are willing to spend $49 more for something that says Apple on the back. It's a little bit more prestige. It's a little bit more classy. It's an Apple product. And then at the same time, there's no ads. And they will drive that home to the consumer saying, but there is no ads on this thing, you know.
Now, I mean, could it be a dedicated ebook reader rather than mini pad, says the chat room. And I think this is the key part. For $249, though, given the fact that you've now got the Amazon pad has come out, do you see that the I think that Apple are in a rock and a hard place here, because $249 is too cheap for an Apple product, but it's too expensive for something that's a lesser experience than iPad.
Well, isn't the new
Hang on, Kelly. Let's DHM. Go ahead.
I can't see Apple are not. They've never ever in the history. They're not apart from maybe the quick take camera. Or things, they're not a one product company. They don't produce products that do one thing. They do products that integrate different services and provide, you know, different amounts of content and things. And I think that there's no way that iOS isn't going to run on a 7-inch tablet. It just isn't.
No,
there's nothing about the size of the tablet that will make iOS. I mean, it works fine on the phone. It works fine on the tablet. It's just another price point. It's just the 7-inch tablet is basically filling in the gaps like they did with the iPod range.
Go ahead, Kelly. What was your point?
Well, first of all, the original iPod was a one product. It was a one unitasker. It only did one thing. It played music. It didn't have a radio. It didn't have games at that point. So it was pretty much a one-trick pony in its original form. Now that's not the case at all. But I totally see this being a fill-in, and I think it absolutely will run a form of iOS that lets you do more than read a book. But I do think that whatever the book setup is going to be the most obvious thing that you can do with it.
So are we saying full versions of Angry Birds Space on this, or are we saying no? You're not going to be playing. Sure. You're not going to be playing some of your games, but you're going to get a good experience.
I think you'll get some of them. I think it's going to be a thing like iOS. It's going to be another iOS resolution to support.
Mm. Yeah, I mean,
I think you're going to get that experience that you've had on the iPad, but not as much, because that's just what Apple does. You know, we've got this for you. We're hitting a price point at $249. You got access, obviously, to iTunes, because they're going to want to sell you content. They're going to want to sell you books. But I think it's not going to go much on. You're going to have email. You're going to have a web browser. And you can probably play some games on it. But I don't think you're going to go much beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, the original story, again, was talking about one of the backer end, you know, the further back processors, the A4, perhaps. As well as the content. Chat room's going ballistic on this. Why would they do an e-reader rather than a mini pad? Apple won't compete at the low end, says Gaz. They don't need to. They're a consumer manufacturer now, says Jim. They have to. Batwench says, why should they just bring out a reader? What's the benefit to that? WinRider, it's a FireWire HD in different guise. Paul, because they want to take over the entire market and not just be in the 10-inch market. Do you make a better one that you can get from your competitors? That's how we got the iPhone, says Mac Jim. Bookery says, will it run iPad resolution apps scaled down to iPod touch versions, iPhone apps at 7-inch? Near Retina was the words that we got, so there we go.
Yeah, near Retina. And that's from January all the way up till now, that's what we keep hearing too.
Sharon's really divided on this. Sharon's really divided on this, and Gaz is just backing off a little bit here and saying, boy, if Apple do that, they're really fragmenting their product line. What are they going to do? Good points. Cut down iPad 2 screen.
I think they're doing it simply to obviously to fill that market. I you don't know how many people I've run into. God, I'd love to have an iPad. It's just too expensive. It's just, you know, I'd love to have that thing, but $499, man, I can't do that. And honestly, the economy we're in, I think they'll sell. And if they do it right now, if they do it this month or by November, they're going to sell a buttload of these things at Christmas time.
Right. Okay.
Buttload.
Here we go then. Chat room, you can join in with this one. I want everything from everyone. It's money where your mouth is. Hang your gonads out and see if they get chopped off. First question. Are we definitely getting an iPad 7-inch, 7.85, 7 to 8, on 17th of October? Kelly?
Yeah.
Right. Carl?
17th of October or before this year?
Well, you know, they've got it booked out, so.
I will go out and say that they will introduce it, but it won't be available for another month.
Okay. Forzy?
Yeah. I feel pretty confident in this.
Right. DHM?
Yeah.
Yeah, announced on the 17th, available at the end of the month.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say yes. There we go, because I just, 'cause everyone else has said yes. I'm too scared to say no. Smock in the chat room says yes. Cyberpaul says but, with two T's, don't know why. Sax says yes. David Walker says yes. Batwing says yes for the Christmas market. Alt Game says yes. Ian says yes. No, says Windrider. They're buying Twitter instead. Jim says...
Well, a girl can dream.
Jim says probably. Yeah. Cyberpaul says before Christmas, absolutely. Sax says LOL, Windrider. And Gaz says still think next year. Paulum says they better had. I need the smaller tablet. There we go.
Asking how many is as a buttload. How many did the iPad sell, the new one, in the first month?
It's 2 million units, wasn't it? Something like that.
Was it 2 million? I'll say double that.
It's like 11 million. I just don't remember.
Yeah. No,
If they sold 2 million, I'll double that. I'll say 4 million.
They've just done 5 million iPad 5. So.
Christmas. They're doing this Q4. It's the end of the year. I know it's not their Q4, but... they're doing this near the end of the calendar year. They're going to get in on the holiday season. You know, remember how, I don't know how many of you guys remember this, but in the olden days, you kind of wanted to make sure that you asked everybody for money for Christmas so that you could get whatever the new thing was that Apple was going to announce 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is finally the opportunity where I think I always thought that was part of why the iPod event eventually became a September-October thing, was because then there was something that was a reasonable Christmas gift that you could get people at Christmas time that would do something good for Apple's bottom line. And I think this is just a little bit more of that forward, you know, retail-related thinking by doing this in October. You know, even if they don't ship it till the end of the month, that still gives you, you know, a month and a half of solid shopping for it before Christmas.
I don't know what this is, whether this is a male thing or what, but I'm sitting looking at the chat room scrolling by and it's moving reasonably quickly at the moment, but I didn't miss the word bra from Batwench. It just popped out. Do you know how hard it is to find a purple bra if you're well endowed? Where the hell's that come from? But I saw bra, out of all the crap that's going up the screen really quickly, I popped up with bra. I saw bra. Sorry, there you go.
You popped up with bra.
I popped the bra. There we go. Pop Batwench's bra. Send me a picture, girl. Right. Right, next question then. Is it a cut down iOS experience or is it a full iOS 6 experience? Kelly?
I think it's going to be different from the current iPad version, but I don't think it's going to be a lesser experience. I think it's going to just be different.
Okay. Swags?
Cut down, you know, nice experience, but definitely not what you get on the 10-inch.
Okay. Forzy?
Yeah, I think they're really going after a little more of a casual market and definitely more for education. So, I wouldn't say it's going to be radically different, but there's going to be some, I think, some differences to be expected.
I can't read out half of what the chat room's saying at the moment. DHM.
Bog standard OS 10, exactly the same experience as the other devices.
OS 10?
Ooh.
iOS 6, sorry.
Bog standardized. Well, don't forget, of course, if they're talking about a lower processor at iOS 4, at A4 to keep the price down, iOS 6 runs perfectly well on the A4 chip.
Yeah. It's just going to be 7-inch tablet, iOS 6, jobbed, that's it.
Chat room is saying the eyebrow.
you know,
Batwing says full. Ryder says full. Walker says, Mr. David Walker says cut down. Cyberpool says frilly. Smark says full iOS but less memory, probably like an iPad 2. Batwing says iBookery, it will only be in black or white. Ian says full iOS with iPad 2 resolution. Paulums wants knickers. Gazmaz, got to be a full experience. No fragmentation, Apple, please. Teresa says it's got to be at least what you get with the iPhone. Paulum says cut down, not the knickers. Sack says I agree with Ian. Full iOS with iPad 2 resolution. Cyberpool says iOS 6 but no Siri. And Mac Jim agrees, no Siri. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think there won't be Siri on it.
No Siri.
No. Yeah. So
I think
you guys know there was a Kickstarter project for a bra that had an iPhone pocket in the side, right?
Right. No, I didn't. Yeah, but let's move off from bras, for God's sake. Swags, what are you going to say there, mate?
I was thinking that whoever pointed out about, you know, similar to like iPad 2 specs, I think they're kind of in the right area there. I think, you know, that's
cool.
It makes the most sense.
Right. And then last question then for everyone. Price. Kelly Price.
Sorry, I was muted. They're like launching a bunch of fighter jets out of the airport at the moment.
Price.
Price. I'm going to say there's going to be two editions, and they're going to be $249 and $299.
Wow. Okay, I hadn't thought of two editions. Good thought. $249, $299. Carl.
Two editions. $249 for when you just want to go in and get something. One, a 3G version, which will be available through your service provider, will be $99.
Oh!
Oh!
Oh! Oh, man, that's even better. 40.
Look at so Kyle's saying subsidized.
Yeah.
Huh. That's not an angle I thought about before.
Oh, mate. Kyle, you dude, you're top of the pile. Mr. Forsman, come on, pull your pecker out and give us a price.
No, well, one second here.
We're all under Kyle.
Talking to 7 inches. Come on, mate.
No, I think $249 is solid for the intro price. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see, you know, some options, but I think this is definitely a price target that Apple's trying to hit here. I think it's education markets and price sensitive consumers, so I wouldn't be at all surprised to see just one model at $249.
Now, when you write an article this afternoon that's insightful and invigorating and mentions a subsidized 99 version for the carriers for 3G, if you don't quote Mr. Swagger, mate, I'm afraid we'll be coming after you. DHM, what about you, pal?
I'd say in the UK price, because I'm with the UK people here, £249 UK pounds. I reckon one device, but multiple colours.
Oh, on the back.
Oh.
Yes. Got you. Sorry, or the bezel. Right, okay, yeah. Jolly good.
Now, white, or do you mean iPod colours?
iPod colours.
Ooh, I hadn't thought of that either. Blimey. We're okay. Inventive lot, aren't we? Is that your flight gone, says Jim. Windrider says $249. Paulum says $249. Mac Jim says $199. Ian says $200 and $299. Kelly, Teresa says she thinks Kelly's right. Windrider says 128 gigabytes. No chance. Not for $249. Mr. David Walker says $249, but would not buy one. Sack says $1 million.
$1 million.
Mac Jim says $50 cover, $60 pen, and no headphones. Bookery says 4G iPad Mini FTW. Windrider says $299 for 128 gigabytes. Don't see that at all. Grayscale screen, he says. iCyberPool says $200 for Lightning Connector. Carry on BTN today is the title. No, it's not. And that's it. There we go. $50 to $75. Says Ian.
I just see the $200 Lightning connector. Now, wouldn't that be funny of Apple? Since they're going to make it a lower spec 7-inch iPad, they'll put the 30-pin dock connector on there. Then you'll need to go buy a $30 Lightning connector.
Yeah, that's where they're getting. That's where they're making the money. They're breaking even on the pad, but they have to sell you the connector. Now, talking of the connector is still not out. The buggers. There it is, the 30-pin Lightning connector, supposedly available in October. Still, the iPad store has gone down and come back up with new iPads, and still today, it is not there. Why?
Can you get them at Apple stores?
It was that riot that they had at the factory.
You think?
Could be.
The,
could be.
I mean, I'll gladly stand corrected here, but my understanding is that that is not available today.
No, it says shipping October. Now, it is October, but it's shipping sometime.
You can buy it. You can pay your money over and pledge your credit card details, but it doesn't. Now, I think that's a real bad thing, because there's got to be a lot of people out there who've got a ton of stuff that, you know, you've got your cable in your car, you've got the cable on the desk, you've got, and they send you one cable with the phone, but that's not enough. You don't want to be carrying that cable around with you and plugging it in and out. You want to just have the cable where you've got it. And you've got some, you know, it's not cheap to have those cables that you've already purchased in the past, and now you're going to have to buy a connector. Well, at least you can carry the connector around and plug it in with it.
Done.
But I think they've missed a real trick here by not getting this ready for market when they got the phone ready.
I don't understand why we got the headphones are ready to go, but the adapter wasn't. And, you know, a lot of people that, you know, got the iPhone 5 already that have their existing hardware, you know, wherever they plug it into, it was definitely a little bit of a fail on Apple's part.
I've got a quick tip from the chat room here. They're saying that the iPods are still available in October. They're not currently showing as in stock.
Right.
I thought they went up today, though. Oh, bugger. Bugger, bugger, bugger. I want a touch. I do fancy a touch, I have to say. In charcoal.
You are talking about the electronic device, correct?
A touch, yeah. No, I'll do that after by myself.
Make sure.
Turn the lights down, start some candles.
Just making sure.
Paul says in the chat room, surely it's a screw-up. It's got to be the only answer. Someone has cocked something up somewhere. They've got one of the connectors the wrong way around, and they made 2 million of them, and they've got to pull them apart and rewire them. Some little bloke there in China with a soldering iron flitting them back the other way. No? Okay. This podcast and all of the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're spangly. We think they're absolutely brilliant. And if you don't, you're a muppet. Absolute muppet. Because they have got everything you need for the net.
Oh, boy.
You want domains? Oh, boy. They got it. You want your own server? They've got it. You want to share a server with someone else? They've got it. You want VPS, VPN? They've got it. They've got everything that you need. All you got to do is go to their website. Cruise around, fill a basket up, and see how much it's going to cost you. But do it through our website using the click-through, and then when you stick the offer code in, which is also on our website in the sponsors link, you'll get a whole pile of reductions. Now, when you've put all of those reductions into that basket, you could end up with hardly anything in there. You can reduce your basket by as much as 40%.
40%?
That's how good it is. They give you 20% off your domain before you even start. No one gives you 20%, that one. Not even worth it. So, go to uk2.net via our website, use those codes, schwing. You're going to have a fantastic experience. You can have a website up and running on your own domain with 50 emails in under 3 minutes. That's how quick it is. They've got a thing called Site Builder, which just builds you an instant application from a series of drag and drop stuff, that kind of thing. So, go buy them. The one thing to say is thank you, and it's a message from UK2. Thanks to everyone, because they really appreciate the fact that British Tech listeners have been buying shed loads of UK2 service. So they're very grateful for the association, and they pick up all our bandwidth. Last month, we did 28 terabytes of bandwidth. There's no way I could afford that. I just couldn't afford it. So please, please support UK2, because they're absolutely brilliant. Right then. Cool things. I'm taking it that Kelly's lost or is on her flight already, because she's not showing us online. So Kelly doesn't have a cool thing, which is cool, because it would have taken her 40 minutes to explain it. Mr. Swagger, what have you got for us as your cool thing?
I played with this last weekend, actually. Me and the wife actually did, and it was called Touch Hockey. And our Touch to Hockey, I guess, is what it's called. It's actually free. They do have a paid version on the App Store. And what's nice is, you know, you can get on the when you use the table, you can actually just, you know, we set down the iPad and you can do, you know, one side on one player on the other side, one on the other side. It's just air hockey is all it is. But, you know, it was kind of fun. And it has different tables you can choose from and different environments. And I would recommend getting the upgrade if you're really into air hockey. I just got the free version because I'm cheap. So,
Tommy tight ass.
I've been spending a lot of money on the App Store lately, so I figured, you know, it was time for a freebie.
Excellent, jolly good. Well done. Mr. Forsman, what do you have for us?
I got this new game, and I don't know what it is, but I play a couple games, and I play it for a while, and then I get bored with it or something. I don't know what it is. But I had this really fun driving game, and I love racing games, and I got one, I don't know, years ago. And I played it for a while, and got pretty good at it. And it was kind of hard to get used to controls and everything, but I got pretty good at it. And then I guess I just got bored with it and never played it again. And then there's been a lot of racing games on iOS that are really great. But I got my iPhone 5 a couple weeks ago, and it has this awesome processor, and the graphics are amazing, and this, you know, widescreen. And I wanted something to, like, really kind of, you know, help me, like, you know, take advantage of all this. And I didn't really have anything, so I searched around, and I found this Asphalt 7 game from Gameloft. And it's they have a whole series of Asphalt games, racing games. And I got the latest Asphalt 7, and it's trying to remember how much it is, but I can't remember off the top of my head. It was only a couple dollars, and it's really, really fun. It's got loads of cars in there. It's definitely not as much of a simulation as I would like something like Gran Turismo, you know, or even like Forza, which like models your damage. So if you hit a wall, you got a busted tire and you've got to fix it, or you got to, you know, go slow or whatever. It's not quite that detailed. It's a little more arcadey. Controls are pretty simplified, but I found it really easy to control. You know, it's the kind where you like steer the iPhone back and forth to control it. And I got really into it, and it was a lot of fun.
Price?
So I highly recommend it. I don't know why. It just says downloaded, so I have no idea how much it cost. I'm trying to remember how much.
You're turning into Don McAllister. Wow, what's money?
I don't like to spend too much money on apps. I'm not too familiar. So I just remember it being like maybe $2.99 in the US App Store. So it was pretty affordable. It was enough for me to just go ahead and, I'll try it.
I'm going
to
get emails this week where people are going to click it and buy it because they're not going to pay any attention. And when they get their bill, they're going to go, Forsman said it was $2.99. You bastards.
I thought there was a way you could still see the price in the App Store after you've even downloaded it, but...
No, you can only re-download it.
It just says downloaded.
Once you bought it, that's it. It's all over and done with. DHM, sir, what do you have for us? You're on mute.
Must unmute. Right, one is an iPhone app and one is an audio book. Remember audio books from the Apple Store?
I do.
Excellent. Well, I was in the, because I'm a nothing if not a cheapskate, I was in the audio books under £5 section the other day.
Right.
See what it was. Scroll down through all the self-help and homeopathy for you and why homeopathy is real books and stuff like that. And right at the bottom of the list was Isaac Asimov's Foundation Trilogy for £1.95.
That's a big old section.
And it's not just narrated. It's a full adaption, a full rate. In fact, it's an ex-BBC Radiophonics Workshop adaption from the 70s. 7.5 hours of absolutely gorgeous full audio stuff there.
Excellent.
Yeah, that'll keep you going. It's a brilliant.
And I mean, under £5.
By the BBC in the 1970s, everybody in it speaks with a completely British accent and everyone sounds exactly the same. And it's full of fantastic sort of music and stuff like that. But that's all part of it, really. It's great. It's kept me company in the van for a whole week. £1.95, really well spent.
£1.95, excellent choice, yes. Then. Not bad at all.
A second pick, which is an app courtesy of iCyberPaul,
right?
Which the cutely named XH558 app, which is better than it because it allows you to keep track of the comings and goings of the Avro Vulcan bomber XH558,
which is the restored one, isn't it? Up at Chester.
Bomber flying, and you can, with the app, it lets you know when it's taking off, when it's flying, what they're up to with it, where it is. People can report photos and sightings of it. It keeps you up to date with their, you know, the donations and things. Because apparently they did a quick whip around a couple of air shows for the last weekend of the season last year, last weekend, which apparently blew through £28,000 worth of jet fuel.
Jesus.
So that's an expensive hobby.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Vulcan reasonably well, and it's slow and laborious at full throttle. It uses about as much petrol as an old Corniche would, Rolls Royce Corniche.
It sounds bloody ace when it goes over.
Yeah, they're very loud. Very loud doesn't really cover it.
Yeah. So help him out there, XH558, to keep track of a bit of. A reminder of when we British were the ones that had all the technology on our side. And when that's gone, listen to the Foundation trilogy, which is also bloody excellent. So.
Yes. No. The Vulcan was, you felt like you were turning inside out when it went over you.
Mm.
It was phenomenally bad. Right. My pick is £40. Sorry. But here we go. It's my screen. There we go. A nice picture of the moon, what I took. But this is a privacy screen that's available on the Mac App Store for your 15-inch MacBook Pro. It's from 3M, and it's £39. And all you've got to do is turn it just a little bit and look. There we go. Au revoir. No one can see what you're typing. And there it is. It's gone. 45 nice. Degrees, nothing at all. Hmm. It comes. You can't even see the join. That's stuck onto my screen with some little adhesive tapes. And you can't see them. They're really, really good. Really, really obscure. I was meticulous in cleaning it before I put it on. And after I got it on, I got an email I opened up. And there's one little tiny dot. And you bugger. But I got it off. So there we go. £40, 3M privacy screen. Really, really nice. We've had a couple of emails. And I just wanted to read one of them out because it was a question that someone said. We had a comment last week about... whether you upgrade iOS 6, whether you do an over-the-air install or not. And Jason Hooper wrote in, he had a problem with his, and he went to the Genius Bar, and the Genius Bar advised him, so this is interesting for you, you should update major iOS apps via iTunes, via a cable, and not over-the-air. Over-the-air is only suitable for incremental updates. That's the advice from his Genius Bar. So if you've done iOS 6 over-the-air, then you might be having some problems because you shouldn't have done it over-the-air. Always do it via iTunes. Sound advice. Hmm. And I have to say, my first install of iOS 6 on my phone was over-the-air and I was getting drop calls left, right and centre. I've reset my phone just recently because I've changed over from the computer that I was doing and I haven't had any problems since, so... Wise words. Thank you very much. Where can we get a hold of you? Kelly Gamont is at the unofficial Apple weblog, and you can get her on Twitter at Verso, V-E-R-S-O, and follow her, and you can also get her on the Mac Bastards podcast, apparently. So, there we go. And, Mr. Swagger, where are you?
Just follow me on Twitter. Screw it. Everybody's going to be on Twitter, so...
Is that because no one followed you on Google Plus?
No, that's because I don't want to shell out $50 still. So Twitter at Kyle Swagger, kyleswagger.com.
Good man.
And Google Plus. What the hell?
Can't we follow anyone on Twitter yet, by the way? Did anyone sign up for Twitter?
No.
Oh, okay. Just me then.
What's your username?
I'm same thing. Forza, where are you?
I'm at arstechnica.com and on the Twitters at ForzaMac.
Okay, thank you, sir. And DHM, where are you, sir?
At Dr. Happy Mac, Don Le Twitters.
Yes, absolutely. We'll be back again next week. Don's back next week, definitely, before he goes on his Australia cruise. Will may or may not be. He's got work at the moment, which is why he's not here this week. But Adam Christensen was due to be here, but he's got a trip with a family or something like that, so he's going to come next week instead. So we'll have fun for you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I always have to wait for these boys to catch up.